This is side 3 of the WindowEyes 4.2 tutorial. If the page is done correctly with frames, you can make it very accessible and make it much easier and faster to get to your data. And on our web page, we have basically 3 frames. We have the frame on top, which is all the links, and that frame is always on the screen. And then you have kind of the center frame, which is the data, depending on what link you select. And then the bottom frame is just basically our information, our address, our phone number, email address, all of that type of thing is at the bottom in that frame down there. So if I keep down arrowing,
visited link GW Micro.
Down again.
Unleashing the power of your mind's eye.
Down again.
Link latest news.
Down again.
Link press.
Down again.
Link events.
It's just going to go through all the links, and every page has these links at the top. So you might say, well, do I have to go down every one of these links just to get to the meat of the data? And no, you don't. The nice thing is, since this does have frames, it told us it had frames, is we can jump between the frames. One of the keystrokes that WindowEyes gives you is the ability to jump by frame, and you can use Control Tab to go between frames. So if I hit Control Tab, I'm going to skip, in this case, all of the links that are up in the first frame. Let me do that.
Frame unleashing the power of your mind's eye.
And it gives you the name of the frame if the web designer labeled it. So I'm going to go down arrow from here.
Powered by Active Accessibility. Link WindowEyes 4.11 Demo. GW Micro Braille Girl Logo.
That was a graphic that has been labeled.
The GW Micro website, www.
And on and on and on, and it will go through and read this. Now, when we came across that graphic, WindowEyes has the ability of reading graphics for you if the web designers gave it alt tag. An alt tag is just a description that the web designers can give to a graphic, and if you take the physical mouse and move it on the graphic, a little description pops up on the screen, and it's used for sighted people. So that same sighted person benefit can also be a benefit to a blind person because we're going to read that information to you. If you come across a graphic and it's just a graphic that has alt tag, we'll read it to you. If it's just a graphic that's not a link and doesn't have an alt tag, we'll ignore it. But if it is a link that goes off to another web page and the web designer, because of poor design, didn't label that with an alt tag, WindowEyes will still read you the URL, the address that link is going to go to. So at least you have some indication of what that link is used for. We can just continue on going down, and actually in our page we have 2 columns, but we're not going to read across the columns. We're going to read all of column 1 and then all of column 2, and we can just keep going on and on. But because we're in this quasi-word processor mode, we can do, as I said, kind of what we do inside Word or WordPerfect. I can do Control Home to go back to the top.
Top.
I can do a find, the same thing that we were doing with the mouse pointers as we were trying to find something with the mouse. Well, when you're in our, what we call MSAA mode, this quasi-word processor mode, I can do that same find. Control-Shift-F.
Dialog find combo edit box N equals find enter your 1 of 3.
And it asks me what you want to find. And I could say, well, let's find, GW Micro's email address. So I could just search for E-M-A-I-L, hit enter.
Found. Email.
It found the word email, and now let me down arrow.
Link webmaster to micro.com.
Okay, so it gave me that address. So if I know I want to go to a web page and I know I want to search for a particular thing and I know it's there, I could just real quickly do Control Shift F, type in the text, hit enter, and WindowEyes will scan the entire web page and put you on that. Now, it will start from wherever you're at on the web page. So if you're not at the top, and let's say you're in the middle, then it's only going to start at the middle and work its way down. Let me go back to the top with Control Home.
Top.
I can also use the tab key to just go by links. The down arrow will take me to every single line on this web page, but tab will take me to links only. So let me tab.
Visited link GW
Again.
Micro. Link latest news.
Again.
Link press.
Again.
Link events.
Okay, so it's skipping the text and just taking me to links, which is kind of a nice way to just see what's on this web page. Another nice thing to do is hit insert tab. Let me do that now.
List box. S equals links dialog.
I'm going to silence this, but what this did is it popped up a dialog in the middle of my IE window here. This is a WindowEyes dialog that by default, it gives me a list box of all the links on this web page in web page order from top to bottom, highlights the link that I'm either on or closest to, and then it gives me some other options. But let me go up and down this list.
Catalog 5 of 29.
I went down. Let me go back up.
Events.
That's where I last was when
29.
I hit the insert tab. But there are all these links, and it tells you how many are there. If I want to, if I hit enter at this point, it would actually go to this link and activate it, which means it's going to load in some other web page. Or I could just give it focus, meaning don't activate it, but take me there because I want to get some reference of what's going on. I can up and down arrow once I go to that link. I can also sort these links in alphabetical order. Or I can also, in the same list box, show all the frames In our case, there were three frames. Well, I could go down here and say, okay, instead of showing me links, show me the frames that are up here, and then I could go between them that way. I think it's easier to use Control-Tab, but sometimes it's nice just to look at them. Or I can also say, show me all the tables that are on this particular web page. Now, when our web page loaded, it told us there were only frames. It didn't say anything about tables, so there are no tables on our particular home page, but we're going to go to one real quick that does have some tables and show you how to navigate that. So Insert-Tab is a real nice way of getting somewhere. Let's say I wanted to find upgrades. Well, I could do my Insert Tab and start typing upgrades.
UP, upgrade 15 of
and I'm immediately 29. On upgrade, and I could hit Enter. Or I could have done my Control-Shift-F and typed in upgrade and hit Enter as well, but that might find some text that has the word upgrade in it as well, where when I use Insert Tab, I'm only going to be searching in links. So that's kind of a nice way to be able to get around that as well. So let's escape back out of this dialog.
GW Micro Inc.
I'll escape
Microsoft.
Out of this, or rather hit Control to silence that. And I'm back where I was before I did Insert Tab, because I didn't really go anywhere. So as we said, we can down arrow. I can also go right arrow one character at a time.
A-T-A-L-O-G.
Or go back.
O-L-A-T.
The same keys that read relative to the caret. Remember we talked about all those control numpad keys, like control left arrow will read the current character.
T.
Again, we'll say it phonetically.
Tango.
Or control right arrow reads the current word.
Catalog.
Or again, spells it.
C-A-T-A-L-O-G.
Or a third time spells it phonetically. All those same keys are still relative to this MSIA mode, so it makes it really easy to remember what's going on. But there are so many other keys that are just relative to the Internet Explorer MSIA mode, because there's so many other things within a web page that you may have to deal with. So let's jump off to another web page. Let's go off to, let's say, Yahoo. Let's say we wanted to do a quick search for something. So I'm going to do my Control-O.
Combo.
Type in
www.yahoo.com.
Hit Enter.
Loading page. Load done four tables. Yahoo link RF1 link RF.
So it said load done, and it had four tables on this. But because I've been in Yahoo enough, I know that those four tables are pretty much used just for formatting purposes. And it's unfortunate, but there's no way to know for sure if a table is used for formatting or if it's really used like a spreadsheet where you want to navigate around those cells. You kind of have to play with the web page. And that's true with any web page. When you go to one that you've never been to before, you're pretty much going to have to start at the top and then just kind of go down through the web page line by line by line. But I know Yahoo is a search engine, so I want to search for something. Now, I could down arrow 40 times or whatever it takes to get to that edit box that allows me to type in the string that I want to do. Or I could search for the word edit box. Or, in my case, we have a keystroke. Remember, tab would take you to the next link. Well, we also have a couple other keys that are kind of useful. Let's say you want to go to the first control, or the next control, rather, that's on the web page. Well, we can do Control-Alt, and then the dedicated down arrow key will take us to the next control. Let me do that.
Edit box.
It takes me to edit box. Let me hit Control-Alt to down again.
Button search.
It takes me to the button search. So I'm going to do up arrow one time.
Edit box.
Because I know the edit box and the search button are right next to each other. Now, in order to fill out a form, a control, like a radio button or an edit box or a list box or even a button, I have to get to that control first, which is what I just did, and then I can hit Enter. That will take you out of this quasi-word processor mode that WindowWise puts you into, our MSIA mode, and it will put you back into the normal IE mode and allow you to fill out a form. So let's say you want to place an order for something, or you want to download the demo of WindowWise. Well, you could go on the page, hit Enter on the first control, and it will read you a field name to that, if there is one, and then it will you type in the data that you want, hit Tab, you'll go to the next control, type in the data, hit Tab. It's kind of like you were in a dialog box, like we saw inside Word, where you can just tab between the controls. WindowWise will speak the field names for you if they're there, and just keep going on until you get to a submit button or whatever. But I'm sitting on edit box, so I'm going to hit Enter.
MSIA mode off.
Notice
edit
it said
box.
MSIA mode off and said edit box. There is no field name for this control. That's why I didn't speak anything, but I know that the search button was right next to it, so I know this is the edit box that I want. I'm just going to say, let's search for a computer.
C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R.
And I'll hit Tab to go to search.
Button. Search.
And I'll hit Enter to activate the search button.
Yahoo. Search results for computer. Loading page. Load done two tables visited link Yahoo.
I'm going to silence that. Notice it turned on our MSIA mode. Even though we had to turn it off to fill out the form, it was all done for you automatically. You just had to hit Enter on the control, and that took you out of our mode. And then when you submitted the search by hitting on the search button, WindowWise, or rather IE, loaded the new web page. WindowWise sensed that, and by default, it puts you back in our mode and puts you back in that same process of loading the page, telling you about the page, and starting to read the top 24 lines. But in Yahoo's case, it puts all these garbage links at the top of the page, and I don't want to have to go through all of that garbage every time just to see what my search results were. Well, after I use Yahoo enough, I know that it comes up with the line that says website matches. So I'm just going to search that because that's going to skip so much information. So let me do a search. Control-Shift-F.
Edit box N equals find email 1 of 4 dialog.
And let's type
find
in website.
W-E-B space S-I-T-E space M-A-T-C-H-E-S. Found. Website matches.
And remember Control-Shift-S, which is our status or speak summary keystroke. Let me hit that now.
Line 74 of 281, no frames, 2 tables.
Line 74 of 280, I believe it said. Let me hit it again.
Line 74 of 281, no frames, 2 tables.
No frame, 2 tables, told me what line I'm sitting on. So I would have had to down arrow 74 times to get to this website matches. Let me down arrow from here.
120 of 23,631.
Okay, I'm going to be looking at the first 20 matches of 23,631. Down arrow again.
Link next 20.
And I can hit enter on this to get the next 20 links, but that would go forever if I went through all those links. Let me down arrow again.
Link Apple Computer Inc.
There's the first match, Apple Computer Inc. And I could hit enter on that and go off, or I could keep down arrowing and going through all the other matches that are there. So it makes the search engine extremely easy to use. Let's go off to CNN site. I'm going to do Control-O.
Dialog open.
And type
combo
in
www period CNN period COM.
And hit enter.
Yahoo. Search results for computer Microsoft Internet. Loading page. Load done 10 frames 6 tables. Visited link skip to main content frame untitled.
Okay, it's going to start reading those top 24 lines to me, by the way. And let me hit Control-Shift-S again.
Line 1 of 305, frame 1 of 10, 6 tables.
305 lines, 10 frames, but unfortunately, CNN didn't really use frames correctly on this web page, so it's not too beneficial to jump by frames. But there's always a lot of garbage links that are always on all these pages. And again, I don't want to have to down arrow several times to get to the main story or the meat of the CNN web page that I'm sitting on. CNN's done a pretty neat thing. Let me down arrow one time.
Visited link, skip to main content.
Notice there's a link there, and it said visited link because I had been to the CNN site earlier today, so it knew that I was on this link before, so it told me that it had been previously visited. But if I hit enter on this link, CNN has put this invisible link, so sighted people aren't bothered by it, but it helps a blind user because if I hit enter on this, it will skip all those garbage links and put you right on the meat of the story. Let me hit enter.
Loading page. Looking for visible line found. Load done 10 frames, 6 tables, link image, Alicia Keys has picked up 5 awards at Wednesday.
And I'm going to silence that, but it put me exactly where I want to be, where the main story is, and skipped all those. Let me see what line I went to.
Line 61 of 305, frame 1 of 10, 6 tables.
I pressed Control-Shift-S for speak summary, and it told me I'm on line 61, so CNN was very helpful in that it allowed us to skip to the main story, because a sighted person, of course, can just overlook all those links, but we don't have to, as a blind person, to go through all of those links. So that's a nice way to do it. But let's say I'm going to go back up to the top with Control Home.
Top.
Another nice thing, though, is if, let's say, CNN didn't have this, and a lot of web pages don't have that link that allow you to skip past their garbage links, we have another feature that, remember, you can hit Tab to go to the next link. You can also do Control-Alt down arrow and up arrow to go to the next and previous controls, like we did for the edit box. Well, we can also do and insert alt up and down arrow key to go to the next line of text, meaning skip controls if there are edit boxes or radio buttons or whatever, and skip links. So I'm sitting at the top of my web page, and let me do insert alt down arrow.
Welcome.
No, down again.
CNN.com.
There's the second one.
Editions.
Third.
CNN TV.
Fourth.
Updated 1040p. Alicia Keys
Sixth.
Has picked up 5 awards at Wednesday's Grammy ceremonies.
Seven.
R&B singer Alicia Keys and the soundtrack to the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Okay, so actually 6 took me back there. I went one too far. But let me go, let me just go up again.
Link keys. Oh, brother, big winners.
I wasn't paying attention when I was hitting that. I was expecting it to take a few more key presses. But insert alt down arrow 6 times took me to the beginning of this main page that I wanted to actually go to, the main meat of this CNN page, skipping all those garbage links. So that's a nice way to be able to go around. So we can use control alt up and down to go to next and previous control. And I can do insert alt up and down to go to the next or previous line of text. I can also use the shift alt up and down if I want to go to the next or previous links as well. Or I can use my tab and shift tab to do that also. Let's go to the weather site on CNN. There's several ways I can go there, but I'm going to use my insert tab method. I'm going to hit insert tab
list
and
box.
Start typing weather.
S equals EA, weather 18 of 151.
Now if I hit enter, it's going to activate the link, or I could do an alt F. to focus the link without activating it. So then I would go to that line and up and down arrow and determine if I really want to hit it. But I know that that's the weather link I want. So I'm going to hit enter.
CNN.com Microsoft Internet Explorer. Link weather. Loading page. Load done 10 frames, 4 tables. Visited links.
I'm going to hit the control key to silence that. But that loaded in the weather page. We heard it all loading in. But I want to go then to the edit box that allows me to type in my zip code so I can get the weather in my local area. I could do my control alt down arrow, but there's a few controls on here. It might take 4 or 5 presses to get to that edit box. Or I could just say search, control shift F,
combo,
for enter your zip. ZI. Hit enter.
Found. Enter your zip code.
So it found that text, which is the field name. Let me down arrow one more time.
Edit box.
And there's the edit box. Let's see what line that's on.
Line 77 of 220.
So I jump down 77 lines to get to that edit box. I'll hit enter.
MSAA mode off. Edit box.
Let's see what's going on in Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is our main office.
4, 6, 8, 2, 5.
I hit
button.
Tab.
Go.
To go, and hit enter to accept go.
CNN.com weather Fort Wayne, in. Loading page. Load done 8 frames, 4 tables. Link skip to...
I'm going to silence that. Notice it has a link to skip to next, to the main content. So let me down arrow to get to that.
Link skip to main content.
Let's hit enter there.
Loading page. Looking for visible line found. Load
and let me down arrow from here.
Partly cloudy. Temp 20F, negative 7C. Rel. Humidity 74. Wind W at 18M. Sunrise 7:17 at sunset 6:30 PM. Table 1.1.1.
Okay, here's the table.
Columns.
I'm going to talk real briefly about tables, and again, we don't have a lot of time here, but tables, again, are a way of navigating through sort of like a spreadsheet where you'll have a header for each column and maybe a row for each, a row title for each row. It depends on how the table is laid out. Once you get to a table, and WindowEyes just told me I was on it, if I read the current line again with Control 5.
Table 1.1.1, start 3 rows, 5 columns.
Tells me there are 3 rows and 5 columns, and I know CNN gives me a 5-day forecast. That's the 5 columns. And the 3 columns are, well, one is the row header, which tells me, in this case, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's the first row. The second row is the high for the day, and the third row is the low for the day. Now, if I were to read this sequentially, it's going to go left to right across, and it's going to say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it's going to say high for that day, and the high for that day, and the high for that day, but I'm going to forget which day I'm really on. So I don't want to read it linearly, left to right, top to bottom, because I'm going to forget which row I'm in, and I'm not going to know what high it's talking about. So I'm going to turn on our table mode. I can do that with Control Plus. If I hold down the Control key and hit either the plus on the numpad or the plus on the top of your keyboard, I'll do that now.
Table 1.1.1 on R1C1. Wet
okay.
Flurries.
So what turns on table mode, and what this means is now the current cell that I'm sitting in this table, and there's 5 rows by 3 columns, and I'm sitting in the top left cell, that is as if I had the whole web page of that cell is now all of these keys that I had talked about are relative to that cell. So if I do a Control Home,
R1C1,
I'm at the top of this left topmost cell that I'm sitting in. And let's just see what it says.
Wed.
Wednesday.
Flurries.
Flurries is a graphic.
Flurries.
And then it has the word flurries, because visually I see this graphic that represents some snowflakes coming down, and then I see the word flurries underneath it, and that's why we heard it twice. So I'm sitting on the column header of the Wednesday time. But what I want to do is, as I navigate around these cells, I'm going to use the insert key on the numeric keypad with the 4 dedicated arrow keys. Remember, these same keys were used to adjust the rate, pitch, tone, and volume for your voice parameters. But inside IE, we've overridden that so that now we move around by a table, within a table. So if you're in table mode, the insert arrow keys are now going to move you around this table. So I'm going to do an insert down arrow to go down. So now I'm sitting on the first column of the second row. Let's hit down.
High, 27F, negative 3C.
So it told me the high for Wednesday is 27 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 3 Celsius. But what I want to do is when I go right, let me do an insert right arrow.
Thursday, P cloudy, high, 32F0C.
Notice it said Thursday, partly cloudy, because there's a graphic and text. And then it read me the contents of the cell, which is a high of 32. Let's go right again.
Friday, cloudy, high, 38F3C.
And if I go insert down.
Low, 29F, negative 2C.
It's reading me the low for Friday, because I didn't change the day, I just went down to the next column. So it's really a fascinating way to be able to navigate around a table. But when I was moving left and right, it was reading me the column headers, and the reason it did that is because I have my header information set to read column titles only. If you press Control Shift H while you're in table mode, and I'll do that now.
Row title.
That says read me the row title only as I move. I'll hit it again.
Column or row.
Read me the column or row. If I'm going across columns, it will read me the column title, or if I'm going up and down from rows, it'll read me the row title, but only one or the other depending on the direction I'm going. Let me do Control-Shift-H again.
Column and row.
That says read both of them. No matter what, always read me a column header and a row header. Let me hit it again.
No title.
Or no title. Or again?
Column title.
Column title, which is where I was. So if the table is laid out with row and or header titles, I can set it up so that it will read that. WindowEyes assumes that if it's a row header, that the first cell for that row is the header, or if it's a column header, it assumes the first row of that column is the header title. Once I'm done with this table, I can do my control dash to turn off table mode.
Table off.
And I can then just continue on reading through my entire web page as I go down through that. We covered a lot of information with IE here, and there's so much more that we could possibly talk about. I could spend this entire tutorial talking about all the fascinating things that you can do with WindowEyes and the web. But I'm going to leave it to Appendix F from here on, let you read through that and learn all the commands that you can press. So I wish you all the best in your web surfing through the Internet. Let's move on to the next section. Using Adobe Acrobat Reader. GW Micro has and is continually working with Adobe to improve their accessibility support while reading PDF documents. PDF is a format used by many companies. You may get a manual in PDF format, for example, so it is crucial that you have access to it. Starting with version 5.0 of Acrobat, Adobe has added MSA support, meaning you can use Acrobat Reader very similarly to using Internet Explorer. Again, for your convenience, like with IE, we have included the latest version of Acrobat Reader on the WindowEyes CD. If you have WindowEyes running, when you put the WindowEyes CD in, you can go to the Advanced Options dialog. One of the options offered is the ability to install Acrobat Reader 5.05. In order to save time, I've already launched Acrobat Reader, but let's do some very basic reading. We're not going to spend a lot of time because everything that we talked about in Internet Explorer is going to carry on right to Acrobat Reader. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the file menu of Acrobat Reader.
F equals file pull down.
Open it up.
O
and
equals
hit
open.
1, which was the last document I had.
1. Menu closed. Loading page. Single page. Loads on Adobe PDF logo. How to create accessible.
I'm going to silence that, but notice that was very similar to what happened in IE when we loaded a page, except here it said single page mode, telling us that the document that I just loaded in, which is roughly 32 some odd pages, I'm only going to be reading it one page at a time. All those IE commands that I just showed you as far as how to read on a web page are now relative to a single page within my document. So I can do Control Home to start at the top, which is where we were anyway, and down arrow one line at a time.
Adobe PDF logo, how to create, accessible, Adobe PDF files, Adobe Acrobat 5.0, Adobe Acrobat Capture 3.0, Adobe logo, bottom. Bottom, bottom.
And that's it. I just keep trying to down arrow and it tells me bottom. Notice it said that there was a graphic on there and it told us the tag that the developers of the PDF document created for that graphic, so it read that. But I'm limited to this page. If I want to go to the next page, I can do Control Page Down. This is an Adobe command.
Loading page, single page. Load done. This manual, as well as the software.
And I'll silence that. But that's how you can read it page at a time. But you can actually set whether or not you want to read page at a time or the entire document within Acrobat Reader. This is an Acrobat Reader function. If you press Control-K while in Acrobat Reader,
list box, dialog preferences.
It pops up this preferences dialog, and on the left is a bunch of the categories. You can hit A to go to accessibility.
A, accessibility 1 of 10.
There are 10 different categories. We're interested in accessibility. I can hit Tab to go out.
Button, okay.
Go again.
Button cancel.
Again.
Combo box. C equals color scheme.
Color scheme.
Use color specified.
We can go beyond
document.
That.
Checkbox check. D equals deliver data in pages when document exceeds.
So that's checked. So that says deliver data in pages when the document exceeds. And what does that mean? Hit Tab again.
Edit box. 10.
So when the document is more than 10 pages, go into page mode. And that's because this checkbox is checked and it's set for 10. If you'd rather go into page mode when it's 50 pages, you could type 50. If you never want to go into page mode, you could uncheck the checkbox. But that's how you can determine whether or not you want to go in or out. Let's turn off that checkbox.
Checkbox check D equals deliver data in pages when document exceeds.
I did a shift tab to go back to it. I'll hit space.
Space. Unchecked.
And now I'll hit enter to accept all that.
Acrobat Reader how to create accessible Adobe PDF files. Loading page looking for visible line found. Load done 2001 Adobe Systems Incorporated.
Now I have access to this entire web page, and because I was on page 2 when I went into the dialog, the preferences dialog, WindowEyes came in and said looking for visible line because I can't see page 1 on the screen anymore, so it puts me on the first line that's actually visible, which is page 2, and I can start reading from there. So now all of my searching and everything is going to be relative to the entire document. Let me just do a Control-Shift-S to see how much information it gives us.
Line 8 of 821, no frames, full document.
So there's 821 lines, and I'm on line whatever it said, and that gives me some information. If I have a PDF document with tables, I can do the same thing that I did with tables If I have a PDF document that has controls, meaning I have to fill out some information, maybe the IRS has sent me a form that I need to fill out in PDF, I can just go in there, just like I did with an IE web page. I can arrow up and down to get to whatever control I want. I can hit enter on it. It will take you out of MSAA mode. You can fill in the data, hit tab, go to the next field, fill in the data, hit tab, go to the next field, and on and on and on, and do whatever you need to do with the PDF document at that point. So I know we've covered Acrobat Reader extremely fast, but the main reason that we can do that is because all the commands you learned in IE are now relative to PDF as well inside Acrobat Reader 5.0 or greater. And again, the WindowEyes CD gives you 5.05 on it. So let's go on to the next section. Using Outlook Express. Microsoft Outlook Express is an email application which is supplied free with Internet Explorer. Since I'm using IE 6.0, that means I also have Outlook Express 6.0. Again, this tutorial will not discuss all the possibilities with Outlook Express, but it will show the basics on how to read your email, send email, and reply to email. I'm still sitting in my Windows XP environment. I'm sitting at the desktop, and we need to launch Outlook Express. Depends on where your Outlook Express is, but typically it's under your Programs group. So we'll bring up the Start menu with Control-Escape.
Start menu.
Hit P for Programs.
P equals Programs pull down, A equals Accessories pull down.
Now I could down arrow until I get to Outlook Express, or I can just keep hitting O until I get to Outlook Express. 1-0.
O equals Office 2000 pull down.
I put my Office 2000 in that group, so we'll hit O again.
O equals Outlook Express.
There it is. So I'll go ahead and hit enter on Outlook Express.
Menu closed. Inbox Outlook Express. List view. Attachment unread. Doug Geoffrey, here is the file you wanted. 2/24/2002, 3:40 p.m. 2 of 2.
Okay, when I launched Outlook Express, again, it depends on how your system is set up, but I've defaulted to being in my inbox on the last item in my inbox. Now, what's the inbox? The inbox is just a list of the email messages that you have received. You might have read some of them, or you might have some new ones that you haven't read yet. Mine read that it was an unread message, and it was from Doug Geoffrey. I basically sent myself an email message so we could get some items in this inbox. But let's get a feel for how Outlook Express is laid out before we start getting concerned about reading and sending and replying to email messages. Basically, there are two main components in Internet Explorer. There's the folder list that lists all the items as far as your inbox. Those are the items, again, that have been sent to you. You have the outbox, which are items that you have sent out. Sent items, which are items that have actually gone out. Deleted items are items that you've deleted, but they're still stored in the separate folder. And there's some other folders that you might have created yourself or that Outlook Express might have put there for you. These are basically just groupings that you can put these items in. For my work environment, I have several what we call mailboxes, or just folders that you might put different things in, depending on how you categorize them. So you can make as many of these folders as you would like and put your email in them if you want to keep them for later. If you just read them and delete them, well, then you don't need to store them, obviously. But if you want to retain the information for later or whatever, as opposed to keeping all of the messages in your inbox, which makes it difficult to find them, you can categorize them. And I'll leave that up to you and Outlook Express to determine how you can actually set up those mailboxes. This is not designed to teach you how to use Outlook Express and all of its features. It's just meant as an overview of how you can use WindowEyes with Outlook Express to do some of the basic things. So to get between these two folders, the folder lists and the actual items within whatever folder you've selected, you just hit the Tab key to go back and forth. So I'm sitting in my messages on my inbox. I hit Tab.
Tree view. Folders. Inbox 21 of 7, depth 3.
Okay, it told me I'm in a tree view. This is very similar to Windows Explorer in that there's a tree view on the left and a list view on the right. So when I went back to the left pane, it told me I'm sitting on the inbox, and it said 2. Visually on the screen, there's a blue 2 in parentheses, which just tells me that there are 2 unread messages that are in this inbox right now. and I only have two messages, period, so that's all that there is. And if I were to down arrow while I'm in this tree view, I'll go to
Outbox 2 of 7.
There are 7 items here, and I'm on the second item, but I'm sitting on the outbox, which just are messages that are outbound but haven't actually been sent yet. If I were to tab and look to see what's in there,
List view, no selected item. No selected item.
I just down arrowed once I was in there, and there is no item to select. So it keeps saying no selected item because there is no item to select. So in other words, there are no pending messages to be sent. Let me tab back to the tree view.
Tree view, folders, outbox 2 of 7, depth 3.
It remembers where I was, and I'll down arrow again.
Send items, 3 of 7.
And this will then, if I were to tab over, it would show you all the emails that have actually been sent. And this is a parameter that you can keep with Outlook Express as well, because maybe you don't want to keep all your sent items because it just clutters things up. But sometimes it's nice to keep a record of your sent items, and typically I'll keep the last year's worth of emails so I can always reference back. But that's up to you and Outlook Express of how you configure that. Next item down in the tree view happens to be
deleted items.
Deleted items.
4 of 7.
Okay. One of the things that I should explain, and we talked about this with Microsoft Word, especially when we were in that section of this tutorial, is that you need to make sure that you configure Outlook Express optimally with WindowEyes. And we talked about how you can do that. You can go up to the File menu and pick the Set File option and go down to whatever application you're interested in. And there's a little README file that goes with each of the applications that we pre-configured for you. I talked a little bit about that in Microsoft Word. We didn't actually go into that option, and I'm talking a little bit about it here. Eventually, we're going to get into the section where we're going to go through all of the items in the WindowEyes control panel, some items in more depth than others, and one of the items that I will spend some time on is how to read the READMEs so that you know how to set up applications specifically so that they work better with WindowEyes. But in this case, my Outlook Express is already configured this way, and even the factory default Outlook Express is probably going to be okay for you. It's just that it's kind of nice to tweak it a little bit. There's some things that are more visual eye candy that we don't really need that's just going to slow things up, that kind of thing. But let's go back to my inbox. I'm going to up arrow until I get back to my
Send
inbox.
Send items 3 of 7. Outbox 2 of 7.
One more time.
Inbox 2, 1 of 7.
Okay, I'm going to tab over because I'm in my inbox right now, so I'm seeing all of the... I want to see all the files that are in my inbox. I'll tab over.
List view. Attachment. Unread Doug Geoffrey. Here is the file you wanted. 2/24/2002/3:40 p.m. 2 of 2.
So it told me this was received on 2/24, and it told me the subject, which is here's the file you wanted. It told me who it was from, which was Doug Geoffrey, and it told me that there was an attachment, and it told me that it was an unread message. So this gives me lots of information there. If I want to actually read this message, I'll hit enter.
Here is loading page. Load done. Attached is the file you requested. Thanks, Doug Doug Geoffrey GW Micro, Inc. Voice 260489367 1, fax 260489.
I'll silence that, but what happened was I hit enter on this message. Outlook Express opened up another window on the screen with just my message, and WindowEyes started reading that. If I want to reread it again, I can use my up and down arrow keys. The nice thing here is, remember when we were talking about Internet Explorer, basically, all those commands that we talked about in Internet Explorer can now be used in Outlook Express. Outlook Express, by default, doesn't give you any sort of cursor or caret like Word did, where we could use the left and right up and down arrow keys. Outlook Express doesn't offer that. It expects the sighted person to grab the slide bar off on the right of the screen and scroll the message up and down with the mouse key. Well, that's not very convenient for someone who can't see the screen or manipulate the physical mouse as easily on the scroll bars. So we've given you this quasi-word processor mode, just like we did with IE, only we're doing it now in Outlook Express. And the nice thing is, now that you know the commands in Outlook in Internet Explorer, that's going to follow right through into Outlook Express as well. So while I'm reading my message, all those same keys are going to work here as well, meaning I can do Control-Home to make sure I'm at the top, which is where I am anyway, but I'll do it. Control-Home.
Top.
Says top. I can down arrow one line at a time.
Attached is the file you requested. Thanks, Doug.
Those were just down arrows that I pressed there, and it read each line as I went through. As you can see, this is a very boring email message. All it said was attached to the file you requested. Now, typically, if I got that, I might consider, hey, this could be a virus. But I know I sent this message, and I know that's me. And if I just keep down arrowing, I'll just keep hearing all of the entire messages as I go through it. If I do my Control-Shift-R, which is what we talked about inside Word and even in IE, That will sit back and read the entire message from wherever I'm at all the way down to the end, or until I hit the escape key to stop that read to end. So I can read this message as much as I want, do whatever I want with it. I can do all of the commands that we talked about in Internet Explorer, or even a lot of those commands we talked about in Microsoft Word, and read this document. If you remember, when we were reading this message back in the inbox, it said that there was also an attachment on this message. If you want to actually see what the attachments are, within WindowEyes, we've given you a special key. This is not an Outlook Express command. This is a WindowEyes command that we've given you to easily, or quickly rather, give you access to the attachments, if there is one, on an email. While you're in the message area, you can just press the F6 key on your keyboard. I'll do that now.
Graphic. List view. Junk.txt 59 bytes 1 of 1.
So it told me I'm on 1 of 1 called junk.txt. It's 59 bytes, and that's the file that was attached to this message. Now that we've given it focus like this by hitting F6, I could hit the Enter key, for instance.
Junk.txt notepad. Edit box. This is a test file to show how easy it is to send and receive attachments.
What that did was it actually launched an application that was associated with my junk.txt file, in this case Notepad, and brought it in and started reading it. Now you have to, of course, be very, very careful with attachments on email messages. I hit enter on this message because I knew that I sent it to me and I know that it's not a virus. So before you do any executing of attachments, you want to make sure that that attachment is valid and not a virus or something attached to it. So having a good virus program on your computer system is always a good idea. So I'm still sitting in Notepad with this attachment that opened up in WindowEyes Reddit, but I need to shut down Notepad so I can go back to Outlook Express and maybe respond to this email message that I've got. So I'm going to do my Alt F4 to shut down Notepad, which opened up when I opened up the attachment. Alt F4.
List view. Junk.txt 59 bytes 1 of 1.
And took me right back into my email message, still sitting at the attachment field. What I want to do now is go ahead and reply to this message and thank the sender of this message for this nice attachment. So there's several ways to do that. I'm going to just show you the quick way, which is Control-R. Control-R is an Outlook Express command, which is just a shortcut way of being able to reply to a message. We could also go to the menus, go to the message menu, and go down to the reply there, but that's a lot of keystrokes and a lot of hassle. So I'm going to press Control-R. And now I'm sitting in my reply field, and I can actually start typing whatever I want. So I'm going to type
T-H-A-N-K-S space F-O-R space T-H-E-F-I-L-E period R-E-G-A-R-D-S comma D-O-U-G.
So I just said, thanks for the file, regards Doug. And that's all I can do. I mean, that's all I wish to do. I could continue to read through the message, because when you actually reply to the message, what it does is it pushes the entire message down and puts a caret at the beginning of it. So I'm actually responding to the message but quoting what the original was. If I don't want to quote what the old message was, I could go down there and delete it. I could select the text just like I was inside Microsoft Word for that point, select the text and delete it. But in this case, I'm just typing at the beginning of it, and at the end of what I just typed, I'm going to see the original reply message down there. But now that I've typed this, I could up arrow, go back up to
regards, blank, thanks for the file, thanks for the file.
And I'm already at the top, so going up again doesn't do anything. And again, if I keep going down, I would see the original message. Now that I'm done responding to this message, how do I actually send it? Well, another shortcut key is just an Alt-S.
S, list view, attachment replied to.
Which is what I just pressed.
The file you wanted to 24/20/02/340 PM 2 of 2.
So I pressed Alt-S, which immediately sends that message off to whoever the address was on it, and since I replied, it was just the original sender, and off it went, put me back in my inbox, back on the same message. And if you were listening, you'll notice that it said this time, instead of an unread message, it said that it was a replied to message. So it tells me right away that I have replied to this message. Let's just go up again to another message in my inbox.
High priority, unread. Doug Geoffrey, this is very important, 224/20/02/340.
Notice it said high priority. That's just another graphic that's up there that Outlook Express has the option of showing. A message can be high priority, low priority. I think there's maybe 6 or 4 priority levels that you can send to it. But WindowEyes will tell you the priority level if it has been set. People have to explicitly set the priority for it to be set. Otherwise, it won't speak anything for that. But just like when there was an attachment, or there was a forwarded message, or an unread message, or a read message, WindowEyes is going to read that for you. So if I wanted to read this very important message, I could hit enter, and it will start reading that message. But let's say I just want to start an email from scratch. I just want to create an email message. I want to talk to maybe the support department at GW Micro because I have a question that's not an urgent question that I don't have to call on the phone, but just some question that I don't mind waiting 24 or 48 hours to get a response on. So let's start a new message and send it off to the support guys at GW Micro and just ask them a quick question. How do you start a new email message? Well, again, we could go through the menu options and we could pick new message. But a shortcut way in Outlook Express is just to press Control N, as in new. So I'll press Control N.
Doug Geoffrey, this is very important. 2/24/2002, 3:40 p.m. 1 of 2. Rich edit 2.
Okay, so it read the item that I was sitting on again, and then it actually started a new message and said Rich edit 2. Rich edit is the control type, 2 is the field. So in other words, who do I want to send this message to? Well, let's send it to support@gwmicro.com. It wants the actual email address for whoever I'm sending this to. So I'll do
support@gwmicro.com.
And then I'll hit tab to the next field.
Rich edit, CC.
In other words, who do I want a carbon copy on this message, if anybody? If I wanted to send this to someone else, I would type that email address. But I don't, so I'll hit tab.
Rich edit subject.
What's the subject?
I space HAVE space A space QUESTION.
Subject is I have a question. I'll hit tab again.
Message.
It takes me into the message area, and here is where I can actually ask the question to GW Micro. So
I space A space HAVING space A space PROBLEM period space HERA space.
Oops, didn't type that right.
Space A E space A R E space E space D E A I F S.
Okay, so I was typing quicker, so it started interrupting speech. I made a couple mistakes, so I hit the backspace key. I don't expect you to follow along what I'm typing. Basically, all I said is I'm having a problem. Here are the details. And it's very important if you do send us an email message that you get very detailed in what the problem is, if there are any error messages, exactly what those error messages are, the exact steps that you took to get to the problem that you're at. The more details we have, the faster and easier we can respond back to you. So I would fill this entire email out, given all the details, and when I'm done, I would just do my Alt-S, and the email message is being sent. So I'm just going to say, at the end of this, thanks. Doug, do an Alt-S. And off it went. So now the support guys are going to wonder why I sent such an an email message with no details in it at all. But that's how you would do it. It's very simple to read email messages, very simple to respond, and very simple to create new messages. Obviously, there's a lot more that you can do with Outlook Express, but this should get you going enough that you can read the email messages and do all of your basic email reading. So at this point, I want to shut down Outlook Express because I'm done with it, and I just want to go back to my desktop so we can move on to the next section. So I'm going to press my Alt-F4, and there it goes. Reading the screen using the mouse pointer. With WindowEyes, you can review the screen by using the mouse pointer. The mouse pointer is free to move about the entire screen. But to make things easier, WindowEyes allows you to set a boundary so as not to get lost outside of that boundary. To show how to use the mouse to review the screen, I'm going to start up WordPad, which is a very basic word processor offered free with your Windows operating system. Follow along to get a feel for this very powerful reviewing approach. So I'm still sitting at my Windows XP desktop, and I'm going to go ahead and launch WordPad. We've talked about Microsoft Word and we've talked about Notepad. WordPad is kind of in between those two applications. It's not nearly as powerful as Word, but it does give you a lot more than just plain old Notepad. There's several ways to launch it. As we've seen, Windows already gives you lots of ways to do things. I'm going to do it this way. Bring up the Start menu with Control-Escape.
Start menu.
Hit R for run.
R. Menu closed. Combo edit box O equals open WordPad 1 of 2. Dialog run graphic. Type the name of a program. Folder. Document.
I'm going to silence that. And notice it actually told me I was in the open combo box and WordPad was already there. Because I had launched it a little bit ago, it remembers what was there. But let's pretend it wasn't, and I would just, in this case, type WordPad. One word, WordPad.
WORDPAD.
No space. Once you type the application you want, you can hit Enter. If you wanted to run Notepad, you could type Notepad and hit Enter. Just kind of a quick way to get there. I'll hit Enter to run WordPad.
Desktop. Document WordPad. Rich edit.
And there we go. WordPad is launched. I'm sitting in a blank document space. But in order to kind of show off some of the mouse manipulation commands that we want to work with, I need some text to kind of help us along. So I'm going to go ahead and load section 1 of the WindowEyes manual. We played with this in other sections of this tutorial as well. And we know if we installed it with the WindowEyes install that it put itself in a manual directory in the directory that you installed WindowEyes on. And if you remember, on my system, I installed WindowEyes in a WePro directory on my J drive. Yours is probably C:\WinEyes. But let's go ahead and load section 1. Within WordPad, what I need to do is go to its file menu and go to the open option, or I can just press Control O, which is the shortcut for open. I'm going to do the shortcut. I'm going to hit Control O.
Combo edit box. N=, file name dialog open.
Okay, so it told me I'm in the dialog open, and I'm sitting at the file name edit box. So I'm going to go ahead and type in the file name of section 1 of the WindowEyes manual. The full path is
J:\WePro\SECT01.txt.
So that's the name of the file, SECT01.txt, and hit enter.
Sec01.txt WordPad. Rich edit section 1 introducing WindowEyes TM, this section of the WindowEyes.
I'm going to silence that, but that would have read all the visible portion of that section that's visible within WordPad right now. But I went ahead and silenced that because I want to show you some of the commands that you can do. Now the mouse pointer itself, the physical mouse pointer, can go anywhere on the screen. If I grab my physical mouse and I start moving it around on my screen,
this section of the Win and bolts of the contact are tech windows introducing WindowEyes introducing section graphic. Graphic, enter to this section of the window, H=, help pull O=, form sec01.txt WordPad.
Okay, I was moving it all over the place on the screen. I was moving it over some text that was there. I was moving it over some graphics that were up in the toolbar. I was moving it over the menu bar and up on the title bar, just all over the place, just to get you a feel. And you'll notice as I moved it around, it interrupted the speaking of what it was saying for the new thing that it tried to speak. That's because we've got interruptibility turned on for the physical mouse as well. That's something that could be turned off. But just as I type from the keyboard, every key press interrupts speech. Well, anytime I land on something with the mouse, it interrupts what it was saying so that it can say the new thing. But of course, the goal of this section of the tutorial is to show you how to move the mouse around using the keyboard and not the physical mouse. But it is important to know that the physical mouse is not limited or bound by anything. You have access to the full screen. But that's not so convenient if you're using the keyboard to move the mouse pointer. There are times when you want to actually bound the mouse by a certain area so that you can be assured that it's not going to go outside of that area and start reading something else. Because remember, Windows screens can be very complicated. You can have several windows open up on the screen at the same time. Well, you don't want to bleed outside of a window and start reading someplace else. You want to make sure you're staying within the current window. So within WindowEyes, we give you what's known as the mouse boundary command. This command tells WindowEyes what to bound the physical mouse to. And there are four options with the mouse boundary. And let me just rotor through those. The command is Control-Shift-B. Here we go with the first press.
Focused window.
Focus window.
User window.
User window.
Full screen.
Full screen.
Active window.
Active window. Let me just read what some of those are. And the default is active window, which is where I'm back to right now. Let's start with user window. First of all, user window is a special command within WindowEyes, and I'm not really going to talk about that option. So we're going to skip over user window and go to the other three, which are more important at this time. We'll start with the low and come out to the large. The first one is the focus window. What is focus? Focus is where the keyboard input goes. A sighted person, for instance, is going to see a blinking caret, maybe. Inside WordPad right now, I have a blinking caret that's blinking away, telling me that's where my next key press is going to go. That means the document area is the focus window within WordPad. Let's say I'm sitting at the open dialog as I was typing in the section 1 file name to load this file in. That edit box I was sitting in had focus. That was the focus window. But let's say back in Windows Explorer when I was in that tree view, I was moving around. Well, the keyboard was moving it around in that tree view. So the tree view had focus. Or if I tab around in a dialog box and go to a button, that button has focus. Just that little rectangle of that button has focus. So that's focus. Wherever the keyboard is going to go, that's focus. Then the next step up from that is the active window, which is what I'm set for right now. Focus is usually And I say that because there are times when applications aren't written quite right, where focus could be outside of that. But usually focus is within the active window. In this case, I'm inside WordPad, which is the active window, and focus is the document area within WordPad. When I was in the open dialog, the open dialog had activation. It was the active window. But the edit box, at that particular time anyway, had the focus. Or in Windows Explorer had activation, but the tree view that I was sitting on had focus. So the active window is the foreground window. It's the window in the front that the sighted person is going to see. And usually that foreground window's title bar is highlighted, indicating again to a visual user that that's the window that's highlighted. Because again, I could have several windows up on the screen and they may not even be overlapping. If they're overlapping, then the foreground window's easy to tell. But if they're not overlapping, and let's say you've got four windows in each four corners of the screen, you need to know, sighted people need to know which one is the active window as well, and they can tell by the title bar. Well, within WindowEyes, we know that. We can read that information. We know what the active window is, and that would bound the mouse to that area if that's what you set it for. And then, of course, the next area up from that is the full screen, which is pretty obvious. The mouse pointer is not bound by anything. You can move it on anywhere on the screen itself. So it depends on what you're looking for is whether or not you want focus, active, or full screen. Usually you don't want full screen unless you just want to see maybe how the screen is laid out. But within an application, you're probably going to want active or focus. And most of our factory set files leave you with the active window, meaning you're not going to be able to go outside of whatever the foreground window is. In my case right now, it's WordPad. But in my case, WordPad is also maximized, meaning it's taking up the full screen. Other than the taskbar, which is at the bottom of the screen, which is always visible, WordPad takes up the rest of the screen. So really, full screen and active window in my case, since WordPad is maximized, is pretty much the same, other than the taskbar at the bottom. But if I were to bring WordPad down so it wasn't fully taking up my screen, then it makes a big difference. We still recommend that you maximize all your applications and probably just stick with the mouse bounder being active window. So I'm going to leave it active window, which will allow me to look through all of WordPad. But you can use Control-Shift-B to manipulate that boundary to wherever you want. Now we're going to go through some of the commands that allow you to actually move the mouse pointer. The problem is where is the mouse pointer right now? We don't have a clue where the mouse pointer currently is sitting. So we have some commands that will help you get it to certain areas quickly, and then you can move the mouse pointer from there. And there's a whole list of these commands. I'm only going to list some of them, some of the more important ones. First thing you might want to do is, if there's a caret, a nice command is route mouse to caret. This command will take the mouse pointer wherever it is and put it to the focus. If there's a caret, it'll take it to the caret. If I'm on a tree view, it'll take to the item that's highlighted in that tree view. If I'm in a list view, it'll take me to the item in that list view that's highlighted. If I'm on a button, it'll take me to the top left of the button. So it's a nice way to just get the mouse pointer to the focus of whatever application you're in. So since I'm in WordPad, I have a blinking caret. My mouse pointer's somewhere else. It's not where the blinking caret is. But if I were to go on my numeric keypad with numlock off again, hold down the insert key, and on the numeric keypad, press the plus key, which is the large vertical key on the far right of your numpad. It's the center of those two keys, three keys that are there. So let's do an insert plus.
Pointer routed to caret.
Said pointer routed to caret. That's because I had a caret. If it were something else, it would say whatever else it is. But right now, my caret and my mouse pointer are sitting at the exact same location. Now, if I wanted to read the line below what I'm sitting on, I would press my down arrow key, and WordPad would take the caret down and read that line. Let's just do that. I'm going to hit down arrow.
Introducing WindowEyes TM.
My caret moved down to the second line of my document. My mouse pointer is still sitting up on the first line. So I'm more interested in reading relative to the mouse. If you've got a caret on an application, chances are you can just use the caret. It's not too useful to use the mouse pointer to read around in a word processor because your caret can pretty much do that. But it's nice to show you in a word processor how all this works, and that's why I'm using this now. With WindowEyes, we use the numeric keypad for the mouse pointer itself. And you can kind of think of the key, we tried to make it rather as obvious as possible of what those keys are. So if you were to press the down arrow key on the numeric keypad, of course numlock is off, if you press the 2 or the down arrow key on the numpad, that will move the mouse pointer down. What I pressed a little bit ago was the dedicated down arrow key, which goes into WordPad, and WordPad will take the down arrow and move the caret down. But with WindowEyes, I'm going to hit the numpad down arrow key, and let's just hit that now.
Introducing WindowEyes TM.
So now again, my caret and my mouse pointer are sitting on the second line of my document, and we just read the line that the mouse moved to. Let me hit down arrow again.
This section of the WindowEyes User's Guide provides you with the nuts.
Now it read the new line that I moved to. The mouse pointer is now on my third line of my document, and the caret is still up on the second line. If I were to hit the up arrow key on the numeric keypad, WindowEyes will take the mouse pointer up one line and read it.
Introducing WindowEyes TM.
So now I'm back in sync with my caret. So up and down will move the mouse pointer up and down. But if I keep going up, if I try to go outside of my mouse boundary, as soon as I'm at the top, it will beep at me and not allow me to go out. And the same is true if I try to go below my mouse boundary, it will just beep at me. Let's keep going up and just see what's up here for fun.
Section 1.
Go up again.
New. Open, save, print, print, preview, find, cut, copy, paste, undo.
I silenced that, but that's the toolbar in WordPad. I'll go up again.
F equals file pull down. E equals edit pull down. V equals view pull down.
I'll silence that, but that's the menu bar in WordPad. Up arrow again.
Graphic. Sec01.txt WordPad. Minimize, restore, close box.
That's the title bar. That's the main title of my window, which is the WordPad window. So it always reads the title bar, which is section1.txt WordPad, and then every window that's an overlap or a top-level window is going to have the minimized, restore, and close box in the upper right corner. Those are just graphics that have been labeled. Let's try to go up it one more time.
Graphic sec01.txt.
Notice it just beeped at us, and then it reread that line again. That's because it won't let us go outside of the mouse boundary. It's going to keep us within the active window. So now if I just keep going down.
F equals file pull new section 1. Introducing with a section of the and bolts of the WindowEyes packaging.
I just quickly was pressing down arrow key and it was just going back down through the title bar, the menu bar, the toolbar, and then back down in the document as I go down. So that's how you can move up and down. The same would be true as if I tried to go down to the bottom of my mouse boundary and tried to go beyond it. It would again beep at me and not allow me to go beyond that. So that's line. Another nice useful thing with the mouse is to move by word. To use the word, in a word processor, if you were going to move by word, it's usually control left or control right arrow. Well, we tried to keep similar with WindowEyes, only now we use the insert key with the left and right arrow keys. So I can use insert right arrow.
Bolts of the WindowEyes packaging.
Or insert left to go back.
WindowEyes the of bolts.
And if you do an insert 5, which is the key in between the left and the right arrow keys, it will say the word.
Bolts.
A second time we'll spell it.
B-O-L-T-S.
And a third time we'll spell it phonetically.
Bravo Oscar Lima Tango Sierra.
So that's a kind of a nice way to go by word and to read the current word. I also forgot to mention that, notice, remember the up and down arrow keys went by line, while the 5, or the key again in between the up and down arrow keys, will read the current line. So if I hit 5 now,
and bolts of the WindowEyes packaging, you will also learn how to.
But if I do an insert 5,
bolts,
it just says the word. So that's a very nice way to read word or line. If you want to read by character, you can just use the left and right arrow keys. So I can hit the right arrow key.
O, L, T, S.
Or go left.
T, L, O, B.
You can also read the current sentence, which is just an insert. And if you think of the 1, 2, and 3 keys as previous, current, and next. So insert 1 would read the previous sentence. Insert 2 would read the current sentence. And insert 3 would read the next sentence. It does assume that your sentences are ending with at least 2 spaces and, of course, a blank line after paragraphs. You can also read by paragraph by using the control insert 1, 2, and 3. So if I hold down the control key and insert with 1, 2, or 3, it would read previous, current, or next paragraph. And it just assumes that you have a blank line between paragraphs. Another nice way to be able to move the mouse pointer is by what we call clip. Clip is a WindowEyes term, and let me try to explain what clip is, because I think it's one of the more useful components of moving. You know how to do character, word, line, sentence, and paragraph, but clip is, as I said, a WindowEyes term. What a clip is first of all, any graphic that you come across is a clip. So if you're moving the mouse around on the screen and you come to a graphic, that in itself is a clip. Every single graphic is a clip. So that's easy to explain. Text, on the other hand, is a little bit more complicated. In my word processor right now, inside WordPad, I have my document loaded. There are no attribute changes, meaning there are no font changes, no color changes, and everything's the standard style, nothing is bolded or italiced or underlined or anything like that. And in that case, every line within my document here is a clip. And that's because it's all continuous text and it's of the same attributes. So if I tell WindowEyes to read the next clip, it will just read line by line by line. But let's say one of the lines has a word in the middle of the line that's bolded. Well then, that line would contain three clips. It would have the first part of the clip because it's all continuous text and it's all of the same attributes. And then it would come to the word that's bolded. That would be the second clip because it's continuous text and of its own attribute. And then the last half of the line would be the third clip because that again is continuous text of the same attributes. So it's a nice way as you're moving through your document maybe to know that you've got some sort of change that caused that to be broken up. Either it's a line boundary or it's because you've got an attribute of some sort. And if of course you come to a graphic, it's just going to go to that graphic in itself. So let's just try that now. I'm going to do insert and think of 7, 8, and 9 as previous, current, and next clip. So I'm going to do an insert 9.
Contact our technical support department.
That just moved
as well
me
as how to set up.
To the next line in Reddit. So insert 9 again.
Windows to work the best with WindowEyes.
And just did the same. But let me go back up and let me go to the toolbar, which are some graphics. So I'm going to do an insert 7, which is previous clip.
Contact our technical support.
I'm going to interrupt that. That's just the current line. I'm going to go back several times here with using previous clip. And it's just going by line, but I want to get up to the toolbar with some graphics.
This section of the introducing section 1, daytime. Paste. Find. Print preview. Print. Save. Open. New.
Each press is taking me to one item on the toolbar, one item at a time, because that in itself is a clip. If I move the mouse by line, notice, or you remember, it read the entire toolbar at once, because that is the entire line. But each individual graphic is a clip. Another way to move the mouse pointer around is sort of like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can use it to move around in four directions. If you hold down the Control and Shift keys, and while they're down, press any of the four arrow keys on the numeric keypad, you'll move it around so many number of pixels, and that default number of pixels is 5. So if I do Control Shift right arrow, it moves my mouse over 5 pixels. Let me just keep hitting it. I hit it once, hit it again, again,
open.
Again, and there eventually the mouse pointer moved to the next icon on my toolbar, and it spoke it because it moved off of the old graphic and onto a new. So it's not always going to read you something like the other keys will, because I might be on dead space, or I might still be on the same graphic slowly moving off of it. And again, I can use Control Shift up, down, left, or right. That's just a way maybe to get a real fine level of what actually is being represented on the screen visually. You have control over how many pixels each one of these key presses will do, and it will default to 5. When we get up to the WindowEyes control panel, I'll show you ways that you can actually change the number of pixels that it moves by. Another nice thing you want to be able to do with the mouse pointer, of course, is click. WindowEyes will use the slash key on the numeric keypad as a left click and the star key on the numeric keypad as a right click. So if you get the mouse pointer to where you want it to be and you do a slash, it will simulate doing the left click on the mouse pointer, or a star will simulate the right click. Another nice thing with the mouse is the find command. Within WindowEyes, you can do Control Shift F, and I'll do that right now.
Combo. Edit box. N equals find dialog find.
It brings up the WindowEyes find dialog and speaks fine and lets you type in some text. At this point, you can type anything you want to, and WindowEyes will search the mouse boundary area, and actually the mouse boundary area is overridden by what the find dialog allows you to do, and we'll see what I mean by that in a second. Let's say I want to find something called 1.3. I want to find section 1.3.
1, period.
Well, let's do 1.2.
2.
I want to find 1.2, and if I hit enter, let's see what it finds.
Found 1.2 system requirements.
It moved my mouse pointer to the first line on the screen that says 1.2, or has 1.2 in it, which happens to be the beginning of the next section. Now, if my screen resolution isn't large enough, or I didn't happen to have 1.2 visible on the screen, it would have said not found and not moved the mouse, just left the mouse pointer where it was. But what happens here is, when I bring up the find dialog, it says, what do you want to find? I typed it in. And by default, it will set the mouse boundary to the active window. It actually overrides the mouse boundary, but only for the find feature. And only by default to the active window because we feel that's much more useful than setting it to focus or full screen or whatever. And instead of forcing you to always set the mouse boundary to active window, the Find will automatically default to that as you're searching. So let's try it again. I'm going to do Control-Shift-F.
Dialog. Find combo edit box N equals find 1.21 of 1.
Okay, it's a combo edit box, and it actually remembers what I last typed, and it can remember the last several commands that I've typed. So I could just arrow to the next item that I previously searched for if I'm searching for multiple things. But let's say I want to find the status line, which starts with for help. So I'm going to type in
F-O-R space 8-E-L-P.
And instead of hitting Enter, which defaults to the forward find button in this dialog, let's tab through and see what the options are.
Radio button check search A equals active window 2 of 4.
Okay, I'm on a radio button, which means only one of these four options can be selected at a time, and it's defaulting to active window. And that's why the search automatically overrides the mouse boundary and goes to the active window. And in fact, by default, it will start at the top left of that active window, regardless of where the mouse pointer is, and start searching down. I can change this radio button to full screen, focused window, or user window. We know what focused, active, and full screen are, and again, we'll leave user window alone for now. Then there are also some other buttons on this Find dialog.
Checkbox unchecked M equals match case.
This is if you want the search to be case sensitive, you could check this checkbox. Tab again.
Checkbox unchecked U equals underline.
If you want the text that you're searching for to have the underline attribute, you can set this. It also has bold, italic, highlight, and strikeout checkboxes as well, but I'm going to go quickly through those.
Checkbox, 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 button, F equals forward find.
Forward find just says start at the top left of your search boundary, which is active window, and start searching for your text, or tab again.
Button, R equals reverse find.
Reverse find says start at the bottom right of your search boundary and look up right to left. Sometimes it's nicer to search at the bottom if you know that it's down there and you can maybe find what you're looking for quicker than a lot of false matches at the top. The default, again, is active window, forward find, with none of the attributes set, and case insensitive. Just a real quick way to be able to find what you want. So let's hit enter on forward find, so I'm going to back up again.
Button, F equals forward find.
And hit enter.
Found for help, press F1.
And it found it. Now, had I set my mouse boundary to focus window, it would not have found this, because the status line, which is the last line in WordPad, is actually outside of the focused window, so it would have beeped at me and told me that it couldn't find it. Also, if you're searching for graphics, you can just search for the label that that graphic has been labeled with. So if I want to find the closed box, for instance, and shut down WordPad instead of doing Alt F4, the sighted person would probably take their mouse up to the top right of the window, which is a little X called closed box, and click on it, and that would close down the application. Let's simulate that. I can say Control Shift F
combo edit
and
box
type in close.
C-L-O-S-E-B-O-X.
Well, let's just say close because
space.
It might not have been labeled close box. So let's just say close.
Found graphic close box.
It found a graphic called close box, and it put me up there. Now I could just do my slash, and WordPad would actually close because slash does a left click, and that would close it down. Now let's say you wanted to find the next occurrence of something, because every time we do Control Shift F, it always starts, if you're doing a forward search, at the top left of your boundary and goes down. So if I do Control Shift F enter again, it's going to find the same close box. So we need some way to be able to continue the find, and you can do that with Insert F. If you hold down the Insert key and press the letter F,
not found,
it will search for the next occurrence. Well, in my case, there is no more occurrence of the word close, so it beeped at us and told us not found. But that's a good way to just continue the search, and the mouse pointer will keep going down within the mouse boundary that the find dialog was previously set for. So hopefully, this was a very quick section, but hopefully this gives you an idea of how you can use the mouse pointer to be able to move around the screen and review what's on the application window. This is really good if you come to an unfriendly application that doesn't maybe give you keyboard access to some of its controls. Well, the Find is an excellent way to move around, or the moving by clip also is a very good way to just move around and get an idea of how the screen is laid out, and or get to an option that maybe you have to do a left or right click on that the keyboard doesn't give you access to. Reading information relative to the caret. As you have just seen, you can review any part of the screen by using the mouse pointer, but you can also read information relative to your caret if your application uses a caret. Again, let's go into WordPad and see how this works. I'm still in WordPad from the last section, I still have section 1 of the Windowize manual loaded. We were reviewing with the mouse pointer, which is fine for applications that don't have a caret, a blinking cursor, or an insertion point, where you can typically type letters from the keyboard. Any edit box is going to have this, rich edit box, WordPad, a word processor in general, those are going to have these carrots or these blinking cursors that you can read relative to. And you saw in the last section, as I press the up and down arrow keys, which causes WordPad in this case to move the carrot to the next or previous line, Windowize tagged right along and just read the new line. So if I were to hit up arrow,
contact our technical support department as well as how to set up.
Okay, I happen to be wherever I was from the last section there, and it will read that new line that I just up arrowed to. But let's say you want to reread that line. Well, there's a couple ways you could do it. You could arrow up and back down again, but let's just say you want to read the current line. Well, remember with the mouse pointer, we use the center key, or the 5 on the numeric keypad with numlock off would read the line the mouse is sitting on. Well, with the caret, we use control in combination with the numpad to do similar things. So if I want to read the line under the caret, I would hold down the control key and then tap the 5 key, or the center key on the numpad with numlock off. Here we go.
Contact our technical support department as well as how to set up.
That just reread the current line. You can kind of think of, when it comes to the caret, the numeric keypad as a plus symbol. If you think of 8 being the top, 5 being the center, 2 being the bottom, and 4 being the left, and 6 being the right. Think of that as the big plus symbol. 5 in the center will read the current line. 4, or the left arrow key with control, will read the current character. Let's press that.
C.
If you press it again, it will say the letter phonetically.
Charlie.
And again, we'll just say it.
C. Okay.
If you want to read the current word, you do control right arrow key. So I'll do a control 6.
Contact.
Again, spells it.
C-O-N-T-A-C-T.
Again, spells it phonetically.
Charlie Oscar November Tango Alpha Charlie Tango.
Okay, so you can think of 5 in the center as being the line. To the left of line is character. To the right of line is word. Then if you want to do a control up arrow, it will read the current paragraph. And I won't do that just to save time, but it will read the paragraph. Has the same limitations as the mouse pointer, meaning that it requires that the paragraph be separated by blank lines. And a control down arrow will read the current sentence that the caret is sitting on. And again, it requires 2 spaces at the end of punctuation, and it requires a blank line between paragraphs to be able to read sentences. Notice when I read relative to the caret, when I read previous or next of any of those, the caret itself doesn't actually move. If I were to read next word, for instance, with the mouse pointer would go to the next word. Windowize leaves the caret alone when you read relative to it. If you want to move the caret, then use the application to move it. For instance, most word processors will use control right arrow, the dedicated right arrow key, to move right by sentence, and Windowize will tag along and read that word as it goes along. But if you just want to reread the current word, you can do control right arrow and the caret will not move. There's also some other commands that we've kind of talked about in some other of the applications, some of the other sections, but we'll cover here in a little bit more detail. And one of those features is read to end. Let me start back at the top of my document. WordPad has a command, and most word processors do, control home.
Beginning of document.
That's a WordPad command that takes me to the top of the document, and Windowize was instructed to read the line that we landed on, which was section 1, the first line of my document. Now let's say I want to sit back and read the entire document. Well, I could down arrow one at a time and listen to it, and for some cases that's very acceptable and actually a better way of doing it. But in my case, I just want to sit back, put my feet up on the desk, and read the document. We have a feature called Read to End, which is Control-Shift-R. Let me go ahead and press that.
Section 1 Introducing Windowize TM. This section of the Windowize User's Guide provides you with the nuts and bolts of the Win...
I just hit Escape to stop that. And what happened was, when I hit Escape, the caret moved to the beginning of the line that was speaking when I hit the Escape key. So I'm sitting down a few lines because it actually got to read before I stopped it. Read to End will just cause the caret to move down line by line by line and read as it goes down. The only way to stop a read to end is when Windowize reaches the end of the document, or you hit the escape key. The escape key will stop the read to end, and it's very important that you hit the escape key to stop the read to end. Many people like to use the control key or any key to silence the speech, and it will silence the speech, but read to end will continue. So for instance, if I start reading my document, I do with control shift R, and I tap the control key, it will silence, but visually you'll see the caret continually scrolling down through the application. If I tap the control key again, speech will start up at the new location. So it's a neat way if you're reading some information and you get to a section that you know you want to skip past several paragraphs or several sentences, you can tap the control key, wait a few seconds, tap it again, and listen to where it's starting up again. But many people will like to use the control key to stop the read to end and wonder why every time they stop read to end, the caret's at the end of the document. And that's because the read to end continues, but it's silenced. So the only way to really stop a read to end is the escape key, and I can't stress that enough. Also during a read to end, when you do Control Shift R, you can use the left and right arrow keys to sort of rewind or fast forward through the document. So let me go back up to the top.
Beginning of document. Section 1.
I'm going to do Control Shift R to start the reading of the document, and I'm going to hit the right arrow key as it's reading, and you'll notice that it's actually skipping the line that it's currently reading and go down to the next line. So it's a quick way to skip through. And I'll also tell you when I hit the left arrow key to reverse that direction. It'll actually go back and reread a line, and I could rewind all the way back up to the beginning of the document if I wanted to. So let me do Control Shift R.
Section 1 introducing Windows TM. This section of the Windows users guide and bolts of the Windows
skip
package.
This.
Contact our technical Windows to work the best
skip
with
again.
1.1 welcome.
Again.
Congratulations on
now
your purchase
go
of Windows. 1.1 welcome. Windows to work the contact and bolts. This section of the Windows users guide provides you with the nuts and bolts of the Windows packaging.
So you can see I was just going back and forth through the document. I was fast forwarding through lines, and I can hit the left arrow key to back up a line. Makes an excellent way to review, fast forward, or rewind through a document. And again, the escape key will actually stop the read to end. Another key that I want to discuss before we go on to the next section is, remember back with the mouse, we did an insert plus, and that took the mouse pointer and routed it to the caret. Well, the reverse of that may also be important at times. Let's say you were using the mouse to review some information and you found a mistake or you found some place where you wanted to do some modification. Well, in order to do that, you're going to need the caret there, probably. And to bring the caret there, you can just simply hit the plus key without the insert. So plus by itself will route the caret to the mouse pointer. Now, let's think about this for a little bit. Remember, the mouse pointer can freely go anywhere on the screen. So when you try to route the mouse to the caret, it's pretty much guaranteed that it's going to go there. Matter of fact, you're almost 100% certain that mouse pointer is going to be able to go where the caret is. But the caret is limited within the application of where it can go. So let's say I take the mouse pointer and go up to the menu bar or the title bar of my window, and I try to route the caret to the mouse pointer. Well, the caret can't go to that area, so it will give you an error message. For instance, right now my mouse pointer is sitting somewhere off of my document area. Let's just see what happens if I try to route the caret to it. I'm going to hit plus on the numeric keypad.
Unable to route caret.
Said unable to route the caret and left the caret alone. Now, if I take the mouse pointer to the caret, let me do an insert plus.
Pointer routed to
and
caret.
Let me just go down a few lines here real quick.
Not will show processor such as the 80486 performance on slower machines is likely.
Okay, now let's read the line of the caret.
Needs and likes. A network automatically enough for you to focus.
And let me read the line of the mouse, which is just 5 by itself.
Processor such as the 80486 performance on slower machines is likely.
And now let me hit the plus key to route the caret.
Caret routed.
Now they're both on the same line, the processors such as the 8486, blah, 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 that line. That's where they're both in sync. So insert plus takes the mouse to the caret, plus by itself takes the caret to the mouse if it can do that. These are the basic commands. There's a lot of other keys that you can do to read relative to the caret, but these are the basic commands, and of course you still have your normal word processing commands, which will move you by character, line, sentence, whatever the word processor itself offers. So let's go on to the next section. Miscellaneous reading hotkeys. As you use applications, you will find that simply reading relative to the mouse or caret is not enough. WindowEyes offers a great deal of options that you can use to read information. This tutorial will cover some of the more common commands. You should refer to the WindowEyes User's Manual for a complete list. Again, we will be using WordPad as our example application. I'm still sitting in WordPad with Section 1 of the WindowEyes Manual loaded that I've been using in the last couple of sections. The first command is Application Help. If you press Control-Shift-F1, WindowEyes will pop up a context-sensitive help dialog giving you information that's relative to what you currently are in or where you currently are. Not all places are going to have help. Some will, some won't. The nice thing is that it pops up a dialog box and starts reading the information. Before it reads, you'll notice it says Read Only Edit Box. That's the type of control that the help information is in. By read only, it means that you can't actually modify it, so that somebody can't go in and actually change the text easily or accidentally. But it is visually represented up on the screen for sighted people, and it is in an edit box, meaning you can use all the commands that we've learned to read relative to the caret. You could go character by character, or word by word, or line by line, or do a read to end and read the entire help screen, whatever is there. So it's very nice to be able to read the information that way. Also on that same dialog, there's a button that allows you to make that read-only edit box fully editable, meaning you can then go in and modify the help to say whatever you want it to say. So if you're having a particularly difficult section or having a hard time remembering a particular command, you could go into our context-sensitive help, Control-Shift-F1, and change the help to say whatever you want it to say, and then it will be saved permanently from then on. But you have to go to the button to make it writable or editable in order to make that change. So we make it simple, but not too simple that you could accidentally change the text in there. So you'll find that we've done this, and I've actually already shown you this inside Microsoft Word. When we were inside both the document area and in the spell check, we hit Control-Shift-F1 to get a list of the commands that were available to read information inside Word. Some of the commands listed there are Word commands, and some of them are windowized specific commands that can be used inside of Word. So it's an excellent resource to be able to get help information relative to where you are, context-sensitive help. Another command is Speak Summary, which is Control-Shift-S. Again, I've been using this command a lot throughout several of the different sections of this tutorial. Control-Shift-S for Speak Summary is a great catch-all for getting just the basic information of where you currently are. I'm in the document area inside of WordPad. If I do Control-Shift-S,
Section 1 introducing windowized EM is section of the window.
Because I'm basically in an edit box, it reads me the contents of the edit box. Let's go up into the menu. I'm going to hit the Alt key to go to the menu.
F equals file pull down.
Now let me do...
F equals file pull down.
It rereads the item that I'm sitting on inside the menu, which is nice. Let's go into the open dialog of the file menu. So I'm going to hit enter to open up the file menu.
N equals new.
Hit over
CTRLN dialog. O. Menu closed. Combo edit box N equals file name. Dialog open.
I'm sitting inside the file name edit box. Here's where I could type the file name that I actually want to load inside of WordPad. If I do Control Shift S here, it says nothing because there's nothing in the edit box. If I type something,
T-E-S-T.
And do Control Shift S,
test.
It reads the word test because that's the contents of the edit box. But let's back up a little bit. Let me go up to the previous control. I'm going to do a shift tab.
List view. Fill lib 1 of 4 no selected item.
Puts me in a list view of items that are currently in the directory that I'm looking at. And I can do Control Shift S here.
Fill lib 1 of 4 no selected item.
Say file lib or file library is what I'm sitting on. It told me that it's not selected, but it's 1 of 4. So it gives me some really nice information depending on the control. And if you remember in Windows Explorer, when I was sitting on the tree view, it told me the level that I was down in the tree view. It told me how many items were on my level, how many items were within the level below me. All of that information came with Control-Shift-S. So it depends on the control you're in as far as what that information will read. But it's a very nice command to be able to get the information that's important for that particular control. Another command is Read Active Window. Control-Shift-W. Control-Shift-W will read the contents of the current active window. Remember when we set the mouse boundary with to active window, we were talking about the foreground window, the window that has the sighted user's attention, and the mouse boundary was binding the mouse to that area. Well, Control-Shift-W will read that area to you. So I still got my open dialog open. If I do Control-Shift-W here,
open. Help close graphic my documents I equals look and graphic my recent documents graphic desktop graphic my documents graphic my computer graphic my net.
I'm going to silence this, but it goes through and reads everything in this open dialog, top to bottom, left to right. And it reads it in a coherent manner in that when it gets into a particular control like a list box, let's say there's a list box on the left side and let's say there's a row of buttons on the right side. Well, it's not going to read one item out of the list box and then that first button, and then the second item of the list box and then the second button. It doesn't read across that way. Once it gets into a control, it reads that control the way you would a sighted person would read that control. It would read it top to bottom, left to right, and stay within that control. And when it's done with that control, then it would go back up and continue on reading through the window. And it will do that all the way through, so it makes it a much better way of reading. But it still can be a lot of information thrown at you, so it's not always the best way to get the information. You may still want to just tab to a particular control and read that control. But for message boxes where it's just putting up a message saying, do you want to save the document before you exit? Things like that, if you want to be repeated, then that's an excellent command to be able to reread that. Also, title status. Control-Shift-T will read you the active window's title bar. Remember that active window. That's the foreground window that has the sighted user's attention. And it also typically has a highlighted title bar. It's usually in some brighter color than the other title bars, again telling a sighted person that's the active window. Well, we don't need a sighted person. We can press Control-Shift-T.
Open.
It just tells me that the title of my current dialogue is open. And notice it didn't say maximized or minimized or anything, telling me that this window can't be resized. This window is the only size that it can be. But let me escape out of the open dialog and go back into WordPad. So I'm going to escape out of the open dialog.
Set01.t.
I silenced that, but I'm back inside WordPad. Now let me do Control-Shift-T, the same command I just did.
Set01.txt WordPad maximized.
Here it again read me the title bar, which is what is currently being displayed up there on the screen, and it said maximized, telling me that WordPad is taking the full screen. I can't see any other applications, I can only see WordPad. Let me bring WordPad down so it's not maximized, and the way to do that, this is a Windows command, but it's Alt space,
space R
and then
equals
an R.
Restore. R, menu closed. Rich.
So Alt space R will restore a window to some other size. We don't necessarily know what size it is, but it's not going to be maximized. Now let me do Control Shift T.
Sec01.txt WordPad normal.
It tells me that it's normal. It tells me that it's not maximized, so I know that I'm not maximized. And in many cases, when people have problems, it's because they haven't maximized their application. And let me explain why that's important. In my case, I have a word processor. If I tell it to read the current line, WindowEyes can only read the visual portion of that line. If I have my WordPad window so small that the entire line won't fit on the screen, then I'm only going to get part of that line read to me. But if you were to maximize WordPad, then you can get more information on that line, and the whole line is going to be visible, and WindowEyes can read it. This is the end of Side 3 of the WindowEyes 4.2 tutorial. The reading will be continued on Side 4.